Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. You can turn there if you'd like, but I'm just going to read it to us, and then we'll have a moment of prayer. Galatians 5, 1. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you so much for the people that are here. People are traveling, spending time with family. We pray that you'll help them get back safely home. And thank you for our military that are around the world protecting our freedoms that we've been talking about today at home and abroad. Thank you for our missionaries. We lift them up as they're proclaiming the good news around the world. Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say amen? All right, so amen. So today is July 4th, 2021. 245 years. That's amazing, isn't it? I hope to be around 250 years. I think it'll be a big celebration. But this morning, I want to read something to you. Some of you are familiar with this. Unfortunately, some of you, this might be the first time you've ever heard this. So allow me to read. I'm going to read a portion of the Declaration of Independence. That's why I was freaking out earlier about couldn't find my Bible, because I don't have the Declaration of Independence memorized, so that would just blown the whole thing. So Jesus help me. I tend to, as I zoom around and meet people, I lay my Bible down. So here we go. So let's listen, right? Pay close attention. This is the Declaration of Independence, and there's portions that we're going to read this morning. It says, in Congress, July 4th, 1776, quote, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation for such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now it goes on, I'll stop there, it goes on to tell us some of the terrible things that King of Great Britain was doing in our country and to our people. Let me quote a little bit more here. Says this, the history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolutely tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world, unquote. And at that point, it begins to list 27 things that were terrible going on in our country at that time. And these things were unacceptable to our founding fathers. Now allow me to finish reading. I'm going to read the last paragraph. Now, if you want to read the Declaration of Independence, you can pull it up online very easily. It'll take you about 12 minutes. And you need to have a good dictionary. Yeah. So here's the last paragraph. Quote, "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Unquote. Everybody say amen. Okay, Bren, can you come up for me? This is Bren Reiser. He's an active duty Army soldier. He's a private first class stationed in the Middle East. Amen. He's home on leave with his mom and dad. Can we all stand? We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. One nation, one God, individual, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. At ease. You may be seated. Did I say at ease? Yeah. Thanks, buddy. You did a good job, didn't you? Amen. Thank you for your service, too. All right, so praise God for our founding fathers with all their imperfections, with all the things that they did wrong. But praise God that they tried their best to listen to Almighty God. Praise God for the men and the women who gave up their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to give us the chance to be free people. To live in a country without the fear of the enemy in our backyard. Or in our skies. Or in our waters. Our founding fathers trusted the Almighty, the Supreme Judge, and the Creator of all things. Let's hear a little bit more from some of them. John Quincy Adams. He said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, Think about that. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one unbreakable bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. George Washington said, "To the distinguished character of being a patriot, it should be our highest glory to praise the more distinguished character of being a Christian." George Washington also said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." One more. Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin said this, "A Bible and a newspaper in every house and a good school in every district are the principal support of virtue, morality, and civil liberty." I am a patriot, and I know that some of you are. And I don't mean anything political about that. I just love this country. I love the United States of America. I've been all over the, not all over the world, but I've been a lot of parts of the world, many, many parts of the world. And this is the only place I'll ever call home. Canada's cool too. Sorry, that was for my son that's probably listening one day. I thank God he guided these imperfect men to launch what George Washington called the last great experiment for promoting human happiness. And yes, the American history books tell us these men gave up their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to give us the chance to be free people. But this morning, please allow me a little bit more time, a few more minutes, to tell you what the greatest history book of all ages tells us about a man, a God man, who gave up his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor to give us the chance to have eternal freedom. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 3 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." Guys, there is nothing in the world more freeing than being loved just as you are. Think about that. There's nothing in this world more freeing than to just be loved just like you are. God loves you. You're not perfect, neither am I. We make mistakes, so do you. As Philip Yancey said in his book, "What's So Amazing About Grace?" You've heard me say this before, but he said that his best definition of grace was this, that there's nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. Because it's really not about anything that we do or don't do. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. It's all about God's grace. It's that free gift of salvation. You see, having God's love, you know, listen to this now. Having God's love and affection from the start, before giving Him anything in return, frees us from the burdens and the weight of having to earn His love and strive for His affection. We don't have to do that. 1 John 4:19 says this, 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. Wow. And then Romans 5:8 says this. It says, but God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were out there in the world doing our thing, serving the God of this world, whatever that means, God loves you. He loved you. Loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Take our place. God wants us to step out of faith and fully live this freedom we're talking about. This freedom of being His child, His children. What does that really look like? What does it take to live in the world but be free from the burdens of living in this world? What does that look like? How do we do that? The Bible proclaims to us that we can have a life of freedom. We can have a life of purpose. We can have a life free of sin and death. That's what the Bible says. You know, death, where is your sting? I'm not going to die ever. That's exciting for me. Let that get in your heart. If you're a Christian, you're born again, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never die. You, the real you, the born again, child of God, citizen of heaven. Now this old body may one day rust and give out, but this body's not me. Y'all heard me say this before. See, we can be free. We can be free. Everybody say free. One more time. Free. We can be free of guilt and shame and fear and anxiety and worry and condemnation. We can be free. We're set free already. The Holy Spirit quietly but clearly beckons me to choose Him throughout my day, that I might know what it is to live in constant communion with Him. God clearly has a plan for us greater than anything we have ever experienced so far. Listen to this. He wants for our day, each day, one day at a time, He wants for our day to be marked by the freedom of life. And this only comes through the transformational encounter with His presence. His presence and His truth and His love. God longs to hang out with us. He longs to meet us in those quiet places. He longs to talk with us and communicate with us in those secret places that we get along with Him. He longs for us to understand the truth and not believe those lies of the enemy that you're no good and your past was terrible and nobody will ever understand you, nobody will ever love you, nobody will ever want you. Don't listen to those lies of the enemy. God wants you to understand the truth, and He wants you to understand that He loves you. God's love has set us free from everything that would entangle us to this world. His love set us free emotionally, spiritually, and practically. His love broke the chains of sin as Jesus breathed His last words on the cross. He said, "It is finished. It is finished." He set us free. His love broke through to earth as He tore the veil from top to bottom. signifying the availability of His presence for all of us. We can all boldly go into the presence of God, to the throne of God. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, last week, I can't remember, but we can come to Him as Abba Father. He's our Papa. He's our Daddy. His love broke through in each of our lives as we said yes to accepting His gift of eternal life. And His love breaks, this is beautiful, His love breaks through every morning as surely as the sun rises, declaring to us the availability of one more day filled with His presence and His nearness and His love. Psalms 118:24 says this, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." God longs for our lives to be marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's how we walk daily. That's the answer to the earlier question. That's how we walk daily in the freedom of Christ, as we're walking in the Holy Spirit. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us and guide us, encourage us, and correct us in all those things that He does for us on a personal level. He longs for us to bear His fruit as we walk and talk with Him daily. God's love has set us free. He set us free from the law of sin and death, that we might live by the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. His love has made a way for us to be fully known and fully loved. But to live a daily, one day at a time life of this freedom, even though it's yours, it's mine, to live this each day, live this freedom that Jesus provides for us, the choice is still ours. We have to accept every day. We have to accept and believe His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. And we have to choose in His power, in the Holy Spirit's power, to walk in this freedom by walking in the Spirit. This is how we live one day at a time, this freedom in Christ. So my friends, choose freedom today by opening your heart and experiencing the presence and the nearness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless America. Amen. Let's close. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank Your Word. It encourages us. It lifts us up. It does correct us when we need it. Thank You, Lord, for our country. Father, best way we know how, as a church body, Pauline Baptist Church, Lord, we repent of our sins. We ask You to forgive the sins of America. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You'll pour out a revival. Lord, we all sense that we're living in the last days. Can't watch the news for more than 30 minutes to realize that we're living in the last days. Father, help us as times maybe getting worse. I don't know. Or we trust You and help You and ask You, Father, to forgive our country for our wicked ways and our sins. If there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ, I pray that they'll come down and I'd be glad to pray with them. maybe join our church, maybe get baptized. As we sing this song of invitation, Lord, I pray that they'll come down. In Jesus' name, amen.